nanohub.org.
Online simulation and more for nanotechnology.
It's a copper substrate, and based on that, we started discussing the formation or the plating of lithium and what the role was, at least in a very broad sense, what is the effect of the SEI on the formation of defects. And here, the idea is that we have our lithium metal that has already deposited, and well, to add to my picture, well, here, this one. So I just say lithium is forming here. And as it forms, it pushes this out, okay? And when you recharge it, ideally you want it to, this layer to move flat and uniformly in the direction of the cathode, okay? But in practice, what happens is that you have these protrusions, right? These structures are pushing out, changing with that the local electrochemical conditions of the SEI layer themselves, okay? As we have discussed, right, the SEI layer, one of the reasons why it's so hard to understand and to characterize is a brittle layer. So you can imagine this metallic nucleus trying to push through, finding this, at least where part of it is very stiff, right? Obviously, it's going to impose some mechanical stresses on this object, right? And to the point where, you know, at some point it's gonna break them, right? Either because it creates a crack through it, okay? Or it literally just spells off an entire chunk of it, okay? And when that happens, well, then you have now a region that I have managed to make the reactivity to be either enhanced, right, or maybe the neighborings can be suppressed, right? Because now this one has an advantage with respect to the rest of the system. Okay, and as a result of that, well, that this specific nucleus will take off, right, forming with that a dendrite. And again, this is just in very general terms, right? I'm hoping to go back, and there's a whole zoo of proposed mechanisms, but I want to at least give you the basic mechanism for dendrite formation through the SEI layer. Okay, and as a result of that, well, we end up having those branch, almost tree structures that form when you are recharging your cell, right? We also discuss all the other reactions that are occurring, and as they form, these reactions may lead to the formation of localized reactions such as this one, which eventually can make that entire region swell. And if we're not careful, that could lead also to battery ignition. Okay, so and while we were discussing several examples, right, and I tried to show you a battery as it was already swollen, right, not necessarily because of this, right, but clearly because some additional side reactions were occurring in the system that were leading to this type of behavior, okay, which is at the bottom, right, what we were trying to discuss, right, and well, since this structure forms, and again, notice this structure can have, typically this is around 10 nanometers, while these structures over here, could be around 10, 20, 50 micrometers. I mean, these are literally needles that are growing in the direction of the counter electrode, right? And as they grow, you know, new SEI forms on top of it, pushing the structure to grow in that direction, right? So if we break it as it grows, well, presumably more SEI will grow there, right? Or the dendrite will use that corner to grow further, okay? So, that's one of the issues. And here in this AFM image, you can see this very large structure, right, about maybe 2 microns, starting to protrude from the bottom, okay, always being covered with SEI, okay? And now during discharge, one would expect that because this is the corner that is the closest to the counter electrode, In this case, you would expect that this corner will actually start retreating, but it turns out that now you have to overcome the structure itself, right? And the local electrochemical conditions completely switched. And in fact, what happens is that now these structures actually start to deplete faster as compared to before, right? So again, you ideally would want this layer to be moving back and forth in a uniform way, right? But instead, what you have is that those regions that have the highest depressions will depress faster, will basically recede faster as compared to the ones that have tips, right? So if you didn't manage to actually create something that had a hill and a valley in the first recharge, when you discharge it, any attempt to form a valley is going to be enhanced during the recharge, okay? And that could be something that you will not necessarily want, because now on the next recharge, now you have definitely formed something that has a tip, and that will definitely will take off. Okay, so basically what we're doing is we are, via the SEI, we may be forming regions that will become nucleation sites for these dendrites to grow. Okay? And what you can see, all I'm doing here is really just waving my hands, right? Because there are a lot of things, as you can see, a lot of reactions going on, so it becomes very complex really to say something that is that can be indeed cast in the context of a class, okay, without bringing very complex mathematics or diving in into a whole other course just on that description. Right, so, and well, here we have one of those depressions, right, and in comparison with the SEI layer, which is very small, right, these depressions and these objects are, in comparison, they look more like the Grand Canyon in comparison, right? They're really, really big, okay? And I think that's basically where we stopped, and now I want to discuss the next level, right? And this is, again, I should put it here. Basically, lithium deposits on this side so that we can distinguish. And on that side, what I'm going to talk about now is the role of SEI formation, okay, on the failure of the of anode materials, not lithium anode materials, but graphite layers, right? And here, I'm going to try to draw the planes of graphite, okay? And as we were discussing, right, the first thing that happens when you put your graphite material, I'm going to call it, you know, shamelessly just C6, okay? And we have our lithium ions. In this case, you can see then that those blue circles, right, embedded in the electrolyte, right, and they're diffused there, so they're just hopping around in this side, right? And well, I'm going to try to draw this here. Okay, and when they are in contact with the anode in the first discharge, the first opportunity they will have, we will start forming here our SEI layer. Okay, and in principle, this electrolyte has to go through this layer, right, the porous and the dense part of the layer, in order to make it all the way here where the reaction is occurring. Okay. The problem is that, well, you would think that this electrolyte would be completely, or that the graphite particle would be completely impermeable to the electrolyte itself. But it turns out that actually the electrolyte material itself can actually get dissolved into the graphite particle, okay? So I'm going to try to draw it here. So basically this molecule, I mean, lithium ions would be, or the atoms in this case would be something like this, right, as they're sitting on the interstices of the graphite sheets, okay? So they expand, but they don't expand so much, right? They, in comparison to what would happen when you try to put one entire of those molecules inside, right? Now just imagine this giant boulder, right, trying to fit into those spaces. Okay, this giant molecule, which is going to deform the lattice. Okay, it's going to open it up a little bit, right? And, well, it will just start accumulating there. Okay, and you would start also creating here. Okay, that will start accumulating. Well, not too far inside, right? And at the end, we don't get too many, too much of those, right? So eventually, you will have this pocket of material, okay, of these electrolyte byproducts, okay, that will create a bubble underneath the surface of the graphite. Okay, well, you will have that one, and maybe you have another one down here. Maybe none of them are the same size, right? Some of them are big, some of them are not necessarily of the same dimensions. Okay, but as it proceeds, notice, again, this bubble is in compression, right? So what you expect will happen is that it's pushing out of the way the rest of the lattice. So it'll eventually spall off the entire layer, including the SEI. Okay, the whole thing will fall off. Okay, and then we have new cleaved surface. Okay. Look here. And then we start over again. Okay. But now our new surface is not like the previous one, which was as it came from the factory, but now we have these dimples. Okay, so now we have done two things, okay? We have lost this much charge, okay? This entire section of, this entire layer of battery material has basically been flaked off into the electrolyte, okay? And at the same time, okay, I have released this gaseous and electrolyte material that has been irreversibly transformed, has been released into also to the electrolyte, okay? And my new surface, which I can still use as a battery material, okay? Now has an inhomogeneous surface, so you would expect some other reactions to occur there too, right? If you guys remember, last week we were discussing that there was there was a couple of mechanisms through which we can start forming gases, and one of them occurs in these crevices, okay? We had just created the conditions for that. And of course, that once that happens, of course, you should expect more bubbles to form. And then we lose another layer. Okay? So it's literally like when you are exfoliating for beauty reasons, right? But in this case, you're losing a lot of material along the way. Okay? And that basically makes you lose material, makes you change the properties of the electrolyte as you do this. Okay, you generate byproducts that are negative for the battery performance, and basically it's all bad. Why? Because this electrolyte manages to get inside the particle. Okay, that is clearly something that you don't want, right? And well, this slide and that paper that I'm referring to here that I think I posted it. If I didn't, I'll make sure it's posted today, right? But in that paper, it makes this exact same point, okay? Where the material enters the solvent enters the active material. It distorts the lattice, okay? And with that, of course, making an entire layer fall off, okay? I guess the moral to the story is, or the technical challenge, is that what you're really aiming for is a better electrolyte. Okay? Why? Because, well, we know what happens already with this electrolyte, right? We know it can catch fire very easily. We know that it can now get inside the particles. It can easily, basically, degrade, right? So, and on top of that, it's actually dissolving or making layers of our particles to basically be shedded into the electrolyte. Okay, so anyway, that's the most, I guess, straightforward wait for me to describe that part. And yes, I almost forget. And here it's from another paper that I also posted. This is the graphite particles, if you may. Notice that they're not spherical, right? In this case, they're very morphologically and isotropic. Okay, and this is after several cycles. Oh, actually, no, this is after one cycle. Yeah, I guess lithium metal, right? And you can see, in fact, the C rate is not even high enough, right? It's just C over 10. It's basically just discharging your battery after 10 hours. And you can, I don't know if you can see there the blisters, right, that form right underneath the surface and how material is basically falling off as you go, right? It's making a big impact on it, okay? So that's on that part. Do you guys have any questions on this? Yes.
Why should the particles be able to deform the graphite layer? If it was stiff enough, it couldn't have.
Why would they, with these molecules that form, would deform?
If it is possible to prevent them from entering, because the graphite layer deforms and then it enters.
Right.
If the graphite layers would have been more stiff, then...
Yes, if the graphite layers were more stiffer, they would be much harder to deform them. But at the same time, let's just pretend if they were stiffer, if they still manage to deform, they will still generate very large stresses because now they're stiffer,
yeah.
Right? And then you would still have the same problem, right? These layers will still deform no matter what, right? Because when you insert lithium in here, okay, what's going to happen is that they can deform all the way to 12% of their completely delithiated value. Okay, so this lattice parameter will open up 12%, which is a huge amount of strain if you think about it. Okay, so even if no material comes in here, they will still open up 12%. Okay, and well, that could still be an issue, as you can see. Now, on top of that, of course, let's just pretend for a second that this material doesn't get inside, and I still have somewhere here my SEI layer. What do you think will happen when this entire lattice expands? What do you think will happen to the SEI? Just thinking that this layer, again, is really thin, right? We're talking about 10 nanometers of stuff forming there.
Mm-hmm. It'll start wrinkling and coming in.
So I'm putting lithium in, right? So this lattice is opening up like an accordion. Okay? And this forms very fast, and then presumably it stabilizes at 10 nanometers, right? Of course, you don't want it to grow further, but let's just pretend for a second it just stays there. Okay? It seems that you have a thought. The layer would expand?
Bend,
yeah, it would bend, right? So, assuming you don't have any more faces appearing in the anode itself, right? Which it's a big if, right? These layers are trying to expand, and these ones are going to try to follow it. Okay, the problem with these layers, okay, if you guys remember, right? We were saying that this is very brittle. Okay, so most likely what's going to happen is that even if I don't deposit lithium in there, just by expanding that lattice, I will start creating breaking points in my layer, right? Imagine a 12% strain on a very brittle face. Okay, that should be enough to create breaking, you know, cracks, right? Even if that layer, SEI layer, started to grow uniformly, okay, on the next iteration, now I have managed to create some fresh interface that either will be spots where I can either form dendrites or I can just start forming inhomogeneities for intercalation or even inhomogeneities for the SEI itself. Okay, so it's all coupled in that sense. Okay? Yes?
So if it breaks, also the dendrite also breaks as well?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it could be, absolutely. You have to think of the properties of the different phases, though, because in the case of the lithium that deposits right between the SEI and the anode material, that lithium presumably didn't get in here because there were no spaces, no vacancies for the reaction to proceed. So the only option it had was to form somewhere there. Okay? And even if this mechanically is expanding, assuming the whole thing is expanding uniformly, this lithium as a soft metal, maybe the first thing it would try to do is maybe to form plastically than to simply start fracturing, right? So I would expect then that, of course, there's some thermodynamic effect imposed on that, but it seems to me that depending on how the size of the lithium deposit and the SEI layer compare, you may have a very complex state of stress or even a very compressive one. Okay? Okay, good. Yes?
Is it somehow possible to take advantage of the anisotropy of graphite? Because it's within the layers that the strength is not much, I guess, because of the van der Waals forces. But
right.
Somehow you can, tilt it around by 90 degrees.
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. So, yes, if there were a way to take advantage of the anisotropy of the particles, that would be, I think, a very cool thing to do. This, of course, is, I don't even know if this has been published yet. I saw a presentation a year ago at the Electrochemical Society. And what they were doing back then, they were looking at entire layers of graphite, platelets of graphite. And some of them were measuring the SEI on these phases as compared to those phases. And they were finding that the thicknesses were very different depending on where you were looking at. Okay, of course, part of it has to do as to having large diffusion regions, which will impact, of course, in the effective reaction rate as compared to this, to the basal plane where stuff will be very hard for it to diffuse through. So, yes, maybe you will have these crusty edges, right? In comparison with the flat surfaces, right? And people are still, they're just starting to look into these things. It's because, it's such a small region, but you can see how impacts could impact dramatically on the performance of the cell. So, does that? Okay, yeah. Okay. And of course, and that's something I should have probably brought up. I cannot even imagine what will happen when you start having, packings of these particles, right? And I don't know whether or not the SEI layer will just start, gluing the whole thing together or not, right? I have no idea, right? But it's at this point, knowing the basics, it's very easy to start speculating at what happens when you have more complex systems. Okay, and obviously regions that are isolated will, even though they may want to transform SEI, they may or may not have, if they have it available, they will probably have a bigger chance to reacting than regions that are isolated. Okay. Any other questions? Yes? Oh, sure. Oh, your battery died. Okay, the irony. Yeah.
The lithium ions go in and the solvent ions, they somehow stay outside in the bottom figure.
In the bottom one, yeah.
Yeah, so the lithium ions manage to go in after breaking, right?
Yes.
And the solvent stays outside.
Yes, well, it's a very, how do you say this? Okay. Yeah, so this is, this specific setup is just one specific possible situation. Right, you could have combinations of the electrolyte getting inside the particles, and you can have ones where, well, they don't. Right, so it's I would be very surprised. Well, as you can see there on the micrographs, right, it's it can be very non-uniform, right, in, as to how it occurs. Okay, I guess that's all I can say about that. Okay, well, I just changed. So I just want to summarize all the stuff, and actually that's what we've been doing really for the last few minutes, summarizing what is indeed occurring in the anode. Obviously, the SEI will establish a compressive layer on the surface of the graphite material, depending, of course, whether or not the and at what charge state it forms to it would compress the immediate surface and could impact potentially the intercalation dynamics in the system, right? As a result of that, we get, of course, the exfoliation of the materials if the solvent manages to get in, okay? Gas formation that we know what it can do, and even electrolyte decomposition, okay? Ideally, what we would like really is the SEI to form because it gives us a localized over-potential that helps us, that provides an additional driving force for lithium to be put into the graphite material, okay? But if it's too thick, then even though the driving force is still there, the losses across that layer could be so large that then we wouldn't get as much as we would want. Okay, so really what we want is stabilize that layer and not let it grow beyond a specific point. Okay, obviously SEI dissolution is a problem. Precipitation of the SEI is a problem. Why? Because associated to that SEI layer, we also have lithium and lithium oxides and other lithium compounds forming that can be precipitating into the electrolyte, leading themselves, besides, of course, exfoliation, to capacity loss in the system. Okay, there are also other reactions that may have it, that may happen as a result of what is dissolved from the cathode side into the electrolyte, and that's also something that we need to take into consideration. Okay, so, well, there's a lot of things going on, and unfortunately, all of them are occurring simultaneously in the cell, making the whole analysis, if you think about it, very complex to track. And that's why people are just starting to get into this. Okay? And of course, I forgot, right, these local inhomogeneities of what happens at the interface will lead eventually or could lead eventually to lithium plating, dendrite growth, and subsequent corrosion of the system, okay, which all of these, except, of course, for the stabilization of the SEI, are all negative things occurring on the battery, okay? And I would say this is probably one of the biggest challenges that exists in lithium-ion battery technology because of safety, because of the highest power density we can reach. Obviously, the higher the current that we charge or discharge will accelerate these reactions, and even the thermal effects as to heating up or localized Joule heating can dramatically impact in the lifetime of the cell. Okay, so just to summarize that part, okay, and I would recommend to you, if you haven't done so yet, to look at the aging mechanisms in lithium-ion batteries as it was posted. Okay, and then I'm going to talk about cathode materials now and what remains of the class. Okay? I forgot to say, I just want to emphasize here the impact of SEI or SEI-related failure mechanisms. This table, which I got from that exact same paper, okay, shows you all the different possible ways that the anode can contribute to decrease the capacity to make the entire cell fail. Okay, and I highlighted from all of those, okay, you can see that half of them, or at least about half of them, are SEI related, right? Either because the electrolyte decomposes as a result of this reaction taking place, as a result of decreasing the area of where the reaction can take place, okay, or as a result of the changes of porosity that occur because the SEI formation. And here we're referring to the internal structure that occurs in the SEI layer itself, okay, and of course, solutions, very chemical, very almost trial and error, right? It corresponds to putting something extra to stabilize that SEI so that the rate at which it grows decreases. Okay, so once you reach, say, your 7 to 10 nanometers, even though it will still be growing or could still be growing with time, okay, the rate at which that layer grows should not surpass the time in which that battery will be useful for you. And again, typically people, when they buy a battery there, a lithium-ion battery there, aim for a cell that lasts about 2 years. After that, the expectation is that you either buy yourself a new laptop or that you just replace yourselves, okay? So at least that's the expectation. And notice that all of them boil down to stable SEI, stable SEI, stable SEI, and external pressure, stable SEI, Okay, so all of them are related to that. We still have problems like co-intercalation, right? As the material gets inside, as we were just discussing. We didn't talk about the composition of the binder or current collector corrosion, okay? We did talk a little bit about metallic lithium plating, and since that's a topic by itself, I already have a lecture, a CAN lecture just to discuss that, okay? And, this slide attempts to summarize all the impacts of that. And as you can see, we want to avoid, well, at least in batteries, ironically, we want to avoid high temperatures, although high temperature batteries do exist, okay? And we want to avoid overcharging because then it will provide more of that reactant for the material to form that. And well, you can see it becomes, it goes from a very simple design that we started more than a month ago to really having to look at all these little details to avoid your battery to fail. Okay, so now I'm going to talk about cathode materials. Okay, so this is the lithium cobalt nickel oxide system is one of the most widely used systems, or at least has been most explored in the last few years. Why is that? Well, the lithium cobalt oxide system alone could be very unstable, okay, in the sense that if we remove the lithium, it can very easily lead by itself to combustion, okay, which would be enhanced by the electrolyte itself. Okay, so why? Because now you have almost a ratio of oxygen, two oxygens and one cobalt in the system. So what nickel attempts to do is stabilize the structure. Okay, now unfortunately, when you do that, if you cycle your battery many times, this structure turns out to have some ordering in the layers. So you can see here the red atoms and the green atoms. Okay, but if you cycle it many times, what happens is that those atoms get reshuffled, and basically, as a result of diffusion, they hop from one type of site to another one, leading to this, let's just say they go from some orthorhombic crystal structure to a monoclinic or rock salt type structure. And that structure, even though it has lithium in it, you cannot access it anymore. Okay, so a closed pack that lithium cannot be taken out anymore basically leads to giant patches on unusable material degrading by itself just from that multiple cycling to these dead zones inside each particle. Okay, that of course is bad, right? Because, well, of course you still have the lithium, then they're so tightly packed the lithium diffusion drops, lithium diffusivity drops, and then you cannot use it anymore. Okay, that's on that end. Now, as a result of this reshuffling, of course, oxygen can be dissolved into the electrolyte, okay? And that by itself could start leading to side reactions, such as the formation of this cobalt dioxide or cobalt monoxide, as well as other organic compounds that may form. And, of course, you have the swelling of the cell, which also would be bad for it. And salts like LiPF6, you can start forming other materials, other compounds that could lead also to failure of the cell. Okay, and all of them, of course, are detrimental to cathode performance, and overall to the response of the cell. Okay, so that's that structure. And the other one that I have here is the lithium manganese oxide system. Okay, this one is interesting. If you guys remember, well, not that the other one wasn't, but if you guys remember, and I'm going to raise my big particle over here, you guys remember at some point we sketched the voltage, the equilibrium voltage of this battery as a function of composition or charge, if you may. Okay, and if you guys remember, somewhere around 50%, we go from 4 volts roughly to 3 volts, right? And I'm emphasizing the order of magnitude. Why? Because from here to here, there's a phase transformation, okay? Here we have LiMn2O4, and here we have LiMnO2, okay? The ratio of oxygen to manganese changes, Okay, so and typically what people do is they, well, I'm trying to put it very politely here. They play a game of chicken with this boundary, right? Basically, you want to increase the capacity. You want to see how far can you go before that transition occurs. Okay, and the problem with reaching that transition is that then there has to be a reshuffling of the manganese and the oxygen ions in order to be able to put more lithium inside. Okay? When that reshuffling occurs close to the surface of the particles of the electrode material, what you get is that there's a disproportionation, right, of what occurs in the system, and the manganese as an ion gets dissolved into the electrolyte. Okay? When that happens, the manganese can diffuse, cross the separator, and attach itself to the SEI in the anode. And that can kill all the good properties that the SEI layer can give us. Okay, killing the entire cell. Okay, so think of it as basically manganese poisoning. Okay, as that ion goes and diffuses to the other electrode. Okay, also, this manganese can come back, not necessarily diffuse and go to the other side, but can actually come back and redeposit itself on the surface, leading to a whole dead patch on the surface of the material. Or, of course, it can also evolve into forming these additional compounds, out of which the LIF is completely useless. It just basically precipitates into the electrolyte, and then you cannot use it anymore. Okay, and those are the two main chemistries that says they are reviewed in this paper, and well, I wanted to complete the picture, right, and talk about those two as they are. So the final slide attempts to summarize all the things that are these days currently being considered as failure mechanisms in the cathode material. We've actually discussed all of them, including the microcracking, as we discussed, right, in the sense that not only the anode material expands and contracts, but also the cathode materials can expand also by several percent. And if this occurs non-uniformly, that develops microcracks, which in turn add some additional ohmic losses for battery performance. Okay, you also can have that as a result of the presence of the cathode material, you can start having corrosion of the current collector or the binder itself, leading, of course, to additional losses and not only ohmic losses but also capacity losses. And well, this is why for me it was very hard when I showed you the battery last class, what specifically was actually causing that battery to swell, because as you can see, there's a whole zoo of things that could happen. But given how the pouches, those pouches that I showed you, were blown, you could see that there could be a combination of how that battery was being abused or used, okay, and how eventually one of them eventually led to that catastrophic event. I should say, at least it failed graciously, because well. All these things occurring, you certainly wouldn't want that thing to blow in your face. Okay, so, and, I think that's the class for today. I don't know if you guys have any questions on this last bit. I really just wanted to review it. Again, it's all very qualitative, as it has been done until this point. And I wanted to be thorough about it. So, do you guys have any final questions? You have a question?
What about this swell? I think we have not just the gas generation inside of that. One reason to use it.
Say that again?
Gas, generating gas.
Yeah.
Generation inside the battery, because so far all those swirls based on the kind of swirling,
right?
Right. But also.
Oh, no, yes, I did, you're right. I did talk about the mechanical swelling as a result of the particles themselves expanding or contracting, but you're right, when those reactions do indeed take place and they release these gases into the electrolyte, they bubble up and they eventually accumulate in some regions, leading eventually, because they have a very different molar volume as compared to its precursors, right, to the expansion of the cell. Absolutely. Right? And yes, I guess that I implicitly was assuming that you guys were on that page too. But yes, you're absolutely right. That's one of the reasons why the battery could swell. So probably puncturing it, even if it's just the surface, might not be a good idea either. Right? So, yeah. Any other questions? I want to stop here because I won't have time to talk about a different topic. So we just stopped today 5 minutes earlier. If there are no questions, then I'm just going to stop here. Okay, and well, we'll discuss the next topic on Friday. Okay? Thank you.